You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. It's Food Friday, and our next guest knows a lot about food and its power to make the worst of times feel less bad. That's part of why her new cookbook is all about comfort food. You can join in at 800-642-1234 as we talk to Ina Garten. What is your go-to comfort food? What one food or dish helped you get through this year? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Ina Garten is the author of the Barefoot Contessa cookbooks and host of Barefoot Contessa on Food Network. She also writes a monthly column for Food Network magazine. Her new cookbook is called Modern Comfort Food. Ina, thanks a lot for joining us today.
So happy to be with you. How are you?
Good. Well, I got to ask you about the timing here. Did you come into 2020 thinking you're going to write about comfort food, or did you take a look at 2020 and said, we better write about comfort food?
I knew there was going to be a pandemic. I'm extremely clairvoyant. No, of course not. 2 years before the book comes out, I decide what I want to write, and I knew that there was going to be an election a month after the book came out. And so I knew no matter what side of the aisle you were going to be on, I knew people were going to be totally stressed out. And so that's why I wrote it. I thought comfort food would be really what people need and what they want. And then I thought, well, maybe I'll do it in a more modern way, like update it, make it easier, make it fresher. And that was the whole motivation for it. And the last photo shoot, the last day of the last photo shoot was March 16th, when everybody started to lock down. And then the whole thing rolled out. And of course, there are layers on layers of stress that have happened since then. So it was, I did it for a reason, but the timing was just unbelievable.
Really good timing. And let's talk about what we mean by comfort food. You write that it can mean something a little different to different people, but in general, what does comfort food do for us? What does it mean to us?
I think it's based on what remembered flavors, what we used to have as a kid. But I think if you look back at, you know, tomato soup from a can and a grilled cheese sandwich, I don't think you'd think it was all that good anymore, but the memory of it is. And so what I wanted to do is make a tomato soup that was really easy to make, but it has a little saffron in it to give it a little heat, and a grilled cheese sandwich with good cheddar and chutney, and it's made in a panini press, so it's really easy to make. So I just wanted to update each flavor, but that's really what it's based on. It's based on something that you remember from childhood. And that's, you know, that depends on whatever culture you're from. If you're Italian or if you're French, or I remember asking my English film crew what they used to have as kids. Did they have peanut butter and jelly? And they were like, "Ooh, that's disgusting." I was like, "Peanut butter and jelly's not disgusting. What did you used to eat?" And they said, "Oh, we used to have white bread with canned baked beans, you know, baked beans right out of the can, and a slice of American cheddar. And that was what we had for lunch. And that's so good. Can we make one for you?" It was just dreadful. But it was a remembered flavor for them. So that's what they felt comfortable with.
Well, let's clear our palate from that that bean sandwich. You shared a few recipes with us. And this is one, when you were asking your friends, they said some kind of tuna sandwich was one of their favorites.
Yeah.
I did a 180 on this. I thought tuna was the grossest thing when my mom ate it when I was a kid. Now, I love tuna melts. You sent us the ultimate tuna melt. We've got it at WPR.org/Food Friday. What makes the ultimate tuna melt ultimate?
Well, first, good tuna, like Italian tuna, rather than just like white meat tuna, you know, just American white meat tuna. It's packed in oil, and it's just got great flavor. And I do it with cheese, and I do it with microgreens, and it's just fresher, and it's got more flavor, and it's just delicious. And it's what you remember it should have been, but it wasn't. No, I never liked warm tuna. Ooh.
Exactly. What was it about, like, because you surveyed your friends, like I said, and it seems like this was a really common answer, tuna sandwiches. What was it? Yeah. What made that a comfort food for so many people?
I think everybody remembers having them in their lunchbox. You know, it's like what your mother used to pack to go to school, or when on a Saturday when you came home from a game or something, you'd have a tuna sandwich. It was just a really common, it was like right up there with peanut butter and jelly.
Now, one thing that I love in your book, I grew up, my mom's side of the family, Polish. My grandparents used to, you know, grind their own kielbasa. You've got a couple different kielbasa comfort food recipes.
I love kielbasa. I think it's got great flavor, and it's so easy because it's already smoked and cooked. So you don't have to cook it, and there aren't all these steps in it. So I think there's a clam stew that has kielbasa in it. There are several recipes that have kielbasa in it, and I just love it. And actually, I'm working on a baked kielbasa for my next book, which is just good. Delicious with honey and mustard.
And you write in the book that a lot of our comfort foods have come from immigrant communities over the years, from Polish ancestors or maybe more recent Thai immigrants. We've really adopted a lot of them as comfort foods. Could you talk about
like
that a little?
Like pizza. I mean, pizza was basically came from Italy, and it's, you know, it's changed so much. But I did a pizza carbonara with shaved Brussels sprouts, and it's just great. And you can make your own pizza dough if you want to, or you can just go to the local pizzeria and get some dough and make really good pizzas.
It's Food Friday. We're talking to Ina Garten, who her newest cookbook of many is called Modern Comfort Food, a well-timed book indeed. Let's bring on a caller now. Kristen is with us in West Salem. Kristen, hi.
Hi.
What do you want to tell us about, Kristen?
My question, I actually have a question about a secret to a good stew. I was raised with stew and goulash and those kinds of things, and just kind of wondering about what you would say would be the secret to a really good stew.
Well, you know, I did a beef stew in this book because I thought that's a remembered flavor, a real American thing. But it's usually kind of boring. You know, it's potatoes and peas. And so any stew, I'm always looking for how can I give it more flavor. So instead of the chuck, I used short ribs, which has so much flavor. And when you cook it, not only the beef tastes good, but it really flavors the sauce. And then I added red wine to the sauce. I added cognac to the sauce, things that you would find in like beef bourguignon. But it's still an American stew. It's beef and potatoes. And so anything that you can add to the sauce and also browning the meat and browning the onions so that they get the most flavor from them, that really makes a difference.
Good luck, Kristen. Help? Hope that helps. Sorry, you're going to say, Ina?
I was just asking if that helped. But I think, you know, you really need to add things and also sear the meat very well so the browning part of it gets into it. And I think one of the critical things about a sauce having a lot of flavor is that it has a little edge. It has a wine edge or a vinegar edge or something like that that really kind of wakes up the other flavors.
Fantastic. Kristen, thanks a lot for calling in with that question. I want to get to another recipe, Ina, you shared with us for a savory crepe. This is a buckwheat crepe. Complete. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that accent right.
Absolutely.
Tell us
perfectly.
About the crepe.
Well, it was actually from a restaurant in New York, and it's she makes it's called La Mercerie in Soho, and she makes very country French food, and this was just spectacular. So it's a buckwheat crepe, and then it's with ham and cheese, and you roll it up, and it's just with a little bit of a sauce on it. And it's so simple, and you can make, you know, really prepare it in advance and then just heat the whole thing up. And it's just got great flavor. It's a good breakfast or a lunch or, you know, it's a weekend thing. It's wonderful.
And it's got, I think, Gruyere cheese. And anytime I've had something with ham and Gruyere together, it's something magical.
It is. It's really good together. It's really great. Yeah, I love that. I love that dish. And when I go to La Mercerie, I always order it.
And then one more recipe. You've got some beverages in the book, some cocktails. This isn't one of them, though. The third recipe we have up is the vanilla cold brewed iced coffee. I could see that being pretty comforting. Why is this a comfort for you?
It depends on, I think probably in the summer, it's like really satisfying. And cold brewed coffee is really interesting because when you steep the beans in the water overnight, somehow it's much less acidic. And I like to use vanilla coffee beans or just add a drop of vanilla if you can't find vanilla coffee beans and a little bit of milk or cream. And it's like having an ice cream soda, but it's just coffee. And I just find it really satisfying.
And cold brewed coffee.
That's what we're really looking for.
Cold brewed coffee doesn't need to be a big production, if I'm reading your recipe right. It's not that hard to pull off.
No, it's not hard to pull off. Basically, you take a big jar and you put beans and water in and you put it in the refrigerator. And the next day, it's coffee. And it's, you can heat it up if you want hot coffee, but I like to make it into cold iced coffee. It's just delicious.
It sounds fantastic. Now, Ina, getting back to the big picture here, a lot of times comfort foods, I think, are people think they're looked down on, you know, the mac and cheese and pizza as just, you know, nothing fancy, just ordinary stuff. Make us fall in love with our comfort foods. Give us permission to enjoy them again.
Well, you know, one of the things about mac and cheese is it can be really just the base for something. And so I'm always making some version of it because, I mean, we all love mac and cheese. It's great. you just don't want it to be boring. So this is actually wild mushroom mac and cheese, where I sauteed a lot of wild mushrooms. And that flavor with the pasta is just amazing. And you can assemble the entire thing in advance in a baking dish and just throw it in the oven before dinner. So that's really great. And, I mean, you know, as I said, with carbonara sauce and shaved Brussels sprouts, it's crispy and it's, I mean, the vegetables really kind of bring out the other flavors. And there's also a pasta carbonara, which is usually so heavy and rich that you can have like two bites and that's it. But I added spring vegetables to it, asparagus and julienne sugar snap peas, and it's just fresher and lighter and more flavorful. So that's what I was looking for each of the dishes. You know, when you take something classic, it's usually not that exciting. And it's, as you say, it's you know, it's not that interesting. But you can really bring fresh flavors to things and give it much more interest. And I hope I did that.
Ina, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much. So good to talk to you. Have a good holiday.
You too. Ina Garten is the author of the Barefoot Contessa cookbooks and host of Barefoot Contessa on the Food Network. We've been talking about her new cookbook. It's called Modern Comfort Food. We've got the links to those buckwheat crepes, vanilla cold brew iced coffee, and the ultimate tuna melt up at WPR.org/Food Friday. Coming up, a new survey shows a third of high school seniors say they're reconsidering whether to apply for college this year. We'll find out how students are rethinking the value of higher education and how colleges are responding. Now it's the Ideas Network's year-end membership drive. Jay Carlisle Larson is with me. You make these Food Friday conversations and all of our other conversations possible when you give. Join in, support the programs you count on at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We have, oh gosh, about 5 minutes left in this hour, and we're looking for 10 more people to join the WPR team. Make your gift right now to support the programs you enjoy and rely on every single day.
We just heard a great Food Friday conversation, this time with Ina Garten, big name in the food world, with some great recipes and great comfort food advice. And as always, pretty much always, recipes to share with you at WPR.org/Food Friday. I've learned a lot. I've learned so much hosting these Food Friday conversations over the year. It's really added a lot to my cooking. If that is the same for you, if you've taken home tips from Food Friday and tried them over the weekend, maybe think about what that's been worth to you and then make your gift right now. You can do it online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
And the great thing is that you get to choose an amount that works for you. But I want to put something on your radar, because during this membership drive, we have a special gift. You can ask for one of the Reach Out and Read thank you gifts when you give, say, $10 a month or more.
Your donation to WPR will power essential news and quality entertainment, and your thank you gift will provide books to young children during their doctor visits. Thank you for making a difference for kids in your community and for WPR with your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I'm Kathy Ross, and I live in Whitewater. WPR basically accounts for so much of what I know about Wisconsin. Politics, geography, people, interesting places to go. Subscribing to the daily email is a routine part of my life. I know before I go to bed at night, I'm going to look at that email and see things I really need to try and focus on. And then I've recently gotten to the podcast world, and it is wonderful to be able to, oops, I missed that, and now I can find it out here, and it's great.
Make your contribution today, because listener support makes Wisconsin Public Radio possible. Give now at WPR.org and click donate.
You can make your gift online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. Central Time. Rob Ferret here with Jay Carlisle Larson. Listener support is the single biggest source of funding for all the WPR programs you rely on. That's why your support on this last weekday of the year-end member drive is so important. Maybe your gift is $10 a month or $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount to give.
If you've never given to Wisconsin Public Radio before because you don't think you can give enough to make a difference, think again. It's gifts from tens of thousands of people combined together that make WPR programs possible.
Many first-time donors will give $10 or $20 a month for their WPR listening. You decide the amount that works for you and then join in at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now think about what you spend money on every day. Maybe it's coffee, maybe it's takeout. That all really adds up. And it's easy to spend things that are part of your routine.
Wisconsin Public Radio is part of your routine also. It's your news source, your conversation starter, your place to learn stuff. So spend some money on it today. You pick the amount, maybe $10 a month, maybe a dollar a day. That would come out to $30 a month. Either way, think about what these conversations are worth to you and then make a commitment to help support them, to help pay for it, and then make your gift. You can do it online at WPR.org or make a call, 888-202-2552.